true. It all come true.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to JumboCast Radio. Of course, this is 91.5 WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. We are JumboCast. We have a new face today on the radio show. Before we start chopping it up about tough sports, going to let him introduce himself. So tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are.
My name is Owen Fitzsimons, and I'm a freshman here at Tufts. Sports has been a big part of my whole life. I've always played soccer, and I grew up in Hong Kong mainly. So some of these new American sports are kind of new to me, the whole American football thing, and baseball. But coming to Boston, where they actually have good teams here, it's helping me get more into it. Already on the World Series hype train.
So. Oh yeah,
absolutely.
Opened up with a little Sweet Caroline to celebrate. The Sox in the World Series. I was actually at the game on, what was it, Wednesday. I was at the game on Wednesday. I was at game 2. It was pretty awesome. We also have another new face. I don't think you've ever, have you been on the radio show?
Not been on the radio show.
So I'm going to let him introduce himself. I'm going to remind him gently to talk into the mic, please.
I'm Francis Simmons. I am a sophomore. I've been part of Jumbo Cast, I guess, for all freshman year and getting back into it this year. I mainly focus in the fall on volleyball, and I'm a big basketball and baseball guy as well.
Cool. So we got Francis, we got Owen, we got another Owen, and we're ready to roll. A couple of our familiar faces taking a week off this week. That's all right. Namely, our GM, Alec Whipple, taking a bus ride to Head of the Fish, or whatever it's called, which leads into our first segment, which is rowing, a sport that I don't think we have talked about on the radio so far. So rowing, of course, last weekend, the famous, or maybe infamous, Head of the Charles regatta was, help me out here, last weekend?
Yeah, last weekend.
It was last weekend. Tufts did incredibly well, to my understanding. Specifically, the women's team qualified two boats, which has never been done before by Tufts. So that was pretty awesome. I think it was their 8V and their 6V. Not quite sure. Of course, our friend Ethan Zaharoni, Radio Show regular and JumboCast regular, wrote a Tufts Daily article that I'm reading from right now. But yeah, the men's team, not sure how they finished. Tufts plays 13th, okay, in the eights. Obviously, Harvard won. But yeah, I'm pretty sure the women's team beat the second place, the women's eight boat beat the six boat by like 30 seconds or something like that, which is like insanely high. So successfully done at the Head of the Charles. I've tried going to the Head of the Charles before, obviously growing up here. It's just absolute madness trying to get in there. There's like 10 trillion people crowding the disgusting Charles River. I don't know. I feel like the Head of the Charles is a spectator sport, a little overrated. I'll throw that take out there. I don't know.
Rowing's a bit of an Olympic sport. Should we care about it every 4 years?
Calling something an Olympic sport is the biggest backhanded compliment. It's like, yeah, it's an Olympic sport.
Yeah, there was a... Ireland never wins anything at the Olympics. So when we start doing slightly well in something, everyone gets on it. So there was a boat of these two rowers called the O'Donovan brothers who lived one town over from me in Ireland.
Oh.
And they...
Claimed to fame.
Yeah, they got silver medals, which is... First ever rowing medal, so
I'd just like to point out we have a worldly man here on the radio show.
Yeah.
Hong Kong,
Mr. Ireland. Worldwide.
Mr.
Yeah.
Worldwide.
There's Pitbull coming up for you next.
Yeah, I'd like you all to know that the other Owen spells his name E-O-I-N, so don't get it twisted. He has the traditional Gaelic spelling. I have the Americanized spelling,
which is the wrong spelling, but we can get over it.
Honestly, I don't disagree with you there. So yeah, Head of the Charles. I don't know. It was worth bringing up. We don't cover crew rowing. Is it crew or rowing? Does anybody know?
Their backpacks say Tufts crew, and their jackets do. So I've always said Tufts
crew. Okay, crew.
Maybe like the sport is rowing, but it is a crew team.
Who knows? That's an Alec question.
That is an Alec question. Yeah. So we were hoping he was going to call in, but that's looking unlikely. So, that's the first update on the, okay, speaking, this is tangentially related, but I feel the need to bring it up, in terms of the Tufts Daily and sports. They have a column, I'm not sure who writes it, but, basically a column that said a few days ago that, Ben Simmons was undisputably better than Jason Tatum, and, I almost walked into their office and burned the place to the ground. Just my two cents.
No bias.
We had a football game last weekend, right?
Yeah.
Pretty sure I directed it. We played Williams.
Williams, yes.
And we won?
We did win.
Okay, all right.
I remember we were in the booth, like, being pretty nervous about it, too. That was a good game.
But as I remember it, we were, like, trading blows in the first half, and then the second half was, like, super slow, right?
Yeah, there was not a lot of passing in that football game.
And I think, too, football's 5-1. I remember we lost at Trinity. That's the only loss in the year.
Yeah, shocking.
And there are 3 games left, so we'll see if we can kind of finish off the one loss season.
Yeah, so Amherst is at the top. I think they're undefeated, 6-0.
And that's who we get on Saturday, but we're there.
Yeah, so it's a super misleading 6-0 because I think they still have to play Wesleyan Tufts. I think they still have to play Tufts and Trinity if someone can double check that schedule. But Amherst sitting atop the NESCAC, 6-0, Trinity 5-1, Tufts 5-1. So yeah, I think they still have to play Trinity and Tufts. So
it'll be an interesting finish.
I'll say it. Yeah. Tufts could win the NESCAC. I'll up and say it. I don't know. But yeah, that was a good game. you know, I'll pull up the stats to see if there's any, but I think it was just some good hard-nosed football.
Yeah, it's a bit of a chess match out there.
Who can run it more?
And so also Amherst has Williams for the last game of the season.
Oh, okay, so that's what. Okay,
so it's Williams, Trinity, and us.
Oh my God,
so that's a pretty tough schedule rolling into the final three games of the season.
Yeah. So we have Amherst at Hammers, Colby, and Middlebury. Middlebury's a good team too. So
The other thing to look out for is our quarterback.
Is he hurt?
I remember seeing him limp off the field 3 or 4 times last week. then they run some wildcat play, direct snap to the running back, and one play later, he'd be jogging onto the field like nothing ever happened.
It was 21-21 at half, and then it was 28-21 final. Tough, so slow. Also worth noting that Williams was missing their two best players. Yeah, their best offensive player, their running back, can't remember his name, and their best linebacker as well. So best offensive and defense player, but a win's a win, as I always say.
It's not how, it's how many, right?
It's interesting, too, because even with the quarterback issues, we still ran a pretty balanced offense. We threw 18 for 29 in the air, and then ran 31 times for 88 yards. So that was only a 2.8 average game per rush. So that's a number that made the O-line pick up some more blocks and find some more gaps and increase a little bit. They kind of want a shot at winning the NESCACs here.
Yeah, I think also just the slightly lower average yards per carry is because when you're running wildcat all the time because your quarterback's injured, they kind of know what's coming.
So Ryan McDonald, who is our quarterback, went 17 for 28 with 2 touchdowns. So
there you go.
He tossed the ball pretty well, threw for 187 yards with a long of 28.
Donahue had a good game too, the tight end. Yeah. So hopefully, actually, I think Trevor might be swinging by when he gets out of class, and he can probably talk a little bit more in depth about football. So we'll put a pin in that one for now. Something I want to bring up that I think is noteworthy. Last show we had, I don't think we talked too much about field hockey, but I'll give you the field hockey results since we had our show 2 weeks ago. And it was a win at Conn College 2-0, a win at Trinity 1-0, a win versus Haverford 2-0, a win versus Williams 2-0, and a win versus Bowdoin 2-1.
So we conceded a goal.
We conceded a goal. That is only the 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8th goal we've conceded all season. So the field hockey team is kind of going nuts. We have playoffs are starting on Sunday. Amherst at home. Yes, and it's the NESCAC quarterfinal, so we're hosting those playoffs. So, yeah, Tufts field hockey doing very well. I'll look up the D3 rankings to see if we moved up in them at all, but I'm not sure. Any of you guys have any insight on field hockey? We haven't been covering the games.
Just to throw this out here again.
Olympic sport.
Truly that the Irish will get behind anything. I watched probably 4 of the... Women's Field Hockey World Cup matches this summer.
That's solid.
Because the Irish team came in as an amateur team. They were the only amateur team, made it all the way to the finals, and of course got slapped by the Netherlands, but everyone does.
Is the Netherlands really good at field hockey?
They also have guys field hockey teams in the Netherlands. I went to high school with a kid who was like on the Olympic team.
Really? Wow.
So are you on a team, you know, like, because I never knew that guys played field hockey.
It's a big thing in Europe.
But I don't know if they're, do you think they're guys field hockey teams, like, in America, like high schools and colleges?
I can't imagine, yeah.
No. It shocks me also that Tufts doesn't even have a men's volleyball team.
I know. There's a club team that's actually pretty good, but there's not a men's, do any of the NESCAC schools have a men's volleyball team? It's worth looking into. It's worth a quick Google search. While our fact checker is checking that, our intern, the D3 national rankings, number 1, Middlebury, number 2, Messiah, number 3, Rowan, number 4, Tufts.
I thought it was Crew.
What's up?
I thought it was Crew.
Hey, pretty good one. That was pretty good. That was pretty good, actually.
Cheers.
Yeah, that was solid. did we, like, lose to Middlebury or something? How is Middlebury higher than Tufts?
It's all a political game.
Yes. They're paying off the rankings.
And to answer your question,
yes.
I'm a non-intern. there is no men's volleyball, according to the NESCAC website.
No men's volleyball. Interesting.
NESCAC at least doesn't have a conference championship for NESCAC volleyball.
In terms of field hockey, NESCAC field hockey? Middlebury at the top, 9-1. Tufts second place, also 9-1. So that's interesting. Wisden coming in with a hot 0-10. I love teams, and I can say this because the Tufts football team was winless for like 8 years. But I love when just teams put up just a goose egg in the win column for a season. You got to just tip your cap to that one. Bowden's on the way with football. Bates also on the way with football. Both 0-6. So could be a pair of goose eggs.
And Colby's on the way, not overall, but on the way for a conference play there. for volleyball. Women's volleyball.
Colby's on. How's Conn College? Two
Conn
wins?
College is 2-6 in conference.
2-6.
Hamilton 1-8. So there's some disparity there.
Yeah. Of course, playing Conn College tonight. We'll get into that a little bit in a few minutes.
Bates gave us a good game of football for a while, though.
That was a little alarming, yeah. What was the final score of that one?
Was that one of the first weeks, or am I going crazy?
That was homecoming.
Yeah.
My friend came down from Bates to watch it. I hadn't seen him in like 8 years. Talking all the smack about how Tufts was going to smack Bates, and then...
Yeah, well, we ended up winning 47-14, so it didn't look that, yeah.
Yeah, but for a while there, it was... not ideal.
You never want to lose to Bates. Never want to do that. Yeah, they were leading in halftime. That's alarming.
We haven't allowed a field goal or a touchdown in two games. We shut out Bowden at Bowden 28-0 on October 6th.
And then the opening game on the 15th of September at Hamilton, I guess they got a safety. It was 29-2. So our defense actually... hasn't allowed more than 24 points. And that was in the loss of Trinity.
Yeah, I mean, to my understanding, like, the defense is, like, the shining star of this football team. I direct the games, but I don't really pay attention, but...
Yeah. We were just pretty much sitting there. Like, I was on the secondary camera, just zooming into random things.
We were having some sort of issue, too. I can't remember exactly what it was.
It was something with the Wi-Fi, right?
No, that was a minor issue. There was an issue in setup. We couldn't get all three cameras or something like that.
We could only get two. It was a whole thing. Adapt over.
That's the JumboCast motto. I don't think there's a comment of the week. That's my favorite segment. Is comment of the week. I think it would have to be. Lucas Pyle with these announcers are superb. Last Saturday at the football game.
Didn't Lucas Johnson comment something all the way from Paris?
Lucas
as well?
Johnson also sent one in from Paris. Yeah, so that was pretty solid. Gotta respect the what time? So the game was at 1:00. So I guess it wasn't.
It was dinner time.
It was dinner time. Yeah, a little dinner time. Jumbo Cat, you know, put it up, watch a little, eat a little croissant, eat a little
baguette.
Little baguette.
That croissant's more for breakfast, buddy.
I don't know. So I don't know. I wonder how Lucas is doing. I need to get him to fill out a W-9 form from Paris, so that'll be interesting.
Yeah. All I can say is if he's in Paris and he's tuning into Tufts football.
Maybe abroad isn't going great for old LJ.
He might just be watching from the Eiffel Tower. We don't know. Just chilling, taking in the views, watching a little football.
Yeah, the Wi-Fi at the top is probably better than in that football.
So there's that. There's also, what's our other favorite segment? I think it was How We Messed Up This Week is the tentative name. So I met with Annie Wong for like an hour yesterday, and we did a lot of things wrong, and that's why we didn't get paid. So without diving too much into it, it was just a shocking amount of things. Forms we didn't fill out, student accounts didn't get made. It's like we didn't have any idea what we were doing because we didn't. So that's how we messed up this week.
But by the time you have to pay me an extra, we'll be
I don't know.
Owen might be in the check when he graduates.
But if Owen's in charge of that, I don't know if we are ever going to get paid.
It's unlikely.
Oh, this is a form I have to fill out? Nah, don't worry about it. They'll get paid at some point.
Just siphon that through somewhere else.
Also, some breaking news. We might not get paid for Epic. I don't know if you did any Epic, Francis, but...
I actually got called away from Epic to do, I guess, a couple basketball games.
There you go. So you don't have to worry.
Do you want to explain to the viewers at home and me what Epic is?
Epic is an international relations conference that JumboCast covers.
What does it stand for? Does anyone know?
I have no idea. I think there's two I's, though. I think there's two I's in Epic.
That's right.
And it's great, and you should definitely tune in when we have those broadcasts, and that's all I should say on live air. But we average a solid 2 viewers a broadcast. They get a lot of views post-upload, though. A lot of people watch them retrospectively.
Well, I think, too, maybe people cite them as well in papers and stuff like that. Yeah. Because people speaking.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty famous people, which is kind of cool, but I could not be less interested in international politics, so it's pretty
that's
tough.
My,
I think
major, so...
Did I read somewhere that really John Kerry's coming at some point? Am I
don't know.
Imagining that.
No idea.
I think we got an email about it anyway.
Yeah, really I don't check my... Francis is just dreaming about John Kerry. So, Owen, do you want to fill us in on soccer?
Sure. So, the men's soccer team right now, they have, I believe they are, 13-0-2, which is quite impressive. No losses. They're conceding 0.58 goals a game, and they're averaging 2.2 goals a game. So, I mean, there were a couple slappings in there. Like, we beat Babson earlier this month, 3-1. We beat...
Babson's a pretty good program.
Yeah, too. We beat Trinity 6-0 on a...
Nil? Was that a nil I just heard right there?
That means zero. we've beaten them 6-0. And yeah, last Tuesday had a really good game at Bowdoin, a 4-3 win in overtime. So now that brings us, we are hosting the NESCAC quarterfinal tomorrow, I believe, against Colby. So that's at Bellow Field at 2:30. So make sure you come out to that.
How's Colby doing this
Colby,
year?
Colby, not doing great. But it's the NESCAC, so everyone makes the playoffs. Colby, I believe it says they are 2-5-3. Let's see. Because that was the report from the earlier game versus Colby. So we beat Colby 1-0 earlier in the season in overtime.
All right. They play us well.
They do play us well.
Well, you never know, too. I mean, a NESCAC game is a NESCAC game in the tournament.
And, that's right.
And energy's rolling, especially with soccer, too, where one mistake can, you know, put you down 1-0.
Oh, absolutely.
And then once you're down 1-0, if you never score a goal, then, you know, it just takes one mistake. And so you always have to kind of be on your toes. And no win's a guaranteed win.
Yeah, that's a... And Tufts really known this year for its defending. They've got a great new freshman center back, William Raphael, I think is how you say his name. He doesn't start, but he comes off the bench, has actually gotten a couple goals for us. And I know I've been sitting there thinking I was really impressed with him. He's quite a tall guy, good in the air. Sterling Weatherby, the right back, he's been around for a while. He's one of the co-captains. He's been really consistent this year. Offensively, I mean, they've got the striker, Joe Braun. Big guy, tall guy.
Good sports name right there.
Joe Braun.
Joe Braun, yeah. That dude should be playing like right guard or something.
Yeah, you should see the size of him too. Big boy. So yeah, they have him whenever they're kind of under pressure. They can always lob it up to his big head. Brings it down well, holds it up, and then toughs her out. So they have struggled to score a little bit this year. Like four toughs. I wouldn't say that anyone's really saying that, like, overall they're struggling. But their defense has definitely been kind of the highlight. I was watching the which game was it? Which is the other undefeated? Let me look this up. The other undefeated soccer team. It was the game at Conn College. Conn College doing exceptionally well this year. They were also undefeated coming into the game. They had a... also renowned for their impeccable defense. So that game went to two overtimes, and the game actually finished nil all. It between, let's see, the 90 plus 20. There was 110 minutes nobody could score between the two. And I was watching the game on the stream. Nobody was even close either. So yeah, lots of things to look forward to for soccer. Last year, the Tufts also did well, but then ended up, as you said, Francis, like one mistake cost them in the end. So as long as they can be mentally strong, keep mental errors down, I think they have a really good shot.
Yeah, I agree with you, Owen. So the other Owen actually has just gone down to get one of the members of the volleyball team, and we're grateful that she is going to be with us today, as they do have a game tonight at 7 o'clock. So I guess we'll use this to talk a little bit about where volleyball stands right now. They're actually 5-3 in the conference, so they're in the middle of the pack. But unfortunately, Bowdoin and Wesleyan are 8-0. And so the chance of us, with two games remaining, both coming this weekend, tonight, and then tomorrow, we will not be hosting NESCACs. However, I've talked to a few of the players, and they have won three in a row. They actually won the New England Challenge. And Jennifer Ryan was named to the all-tournament team, and Mackenzie was actually named MVP of the tournament. So they were happy with those three straight wins and looking to carry some momentum into this weekend's games and an important NESCAC tournament championship. It's looking like an at-large bid might be a reach, and obviously Bridget will talk maybe more about that at some point. But NESCACs will definitely, a high-performance NESCACs, will definitely get them into the playoffs if they win. So they're looking to get some momentum and keep the win streak going. And then with that, I'll turn it over to Owen.
Yeah, absolutely. So we got Bridget Bell in studio. Before we do that, we're just about halfway through the show, so got to play a PSA, station rules. So we'll be back in a second with Bridget Bell.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back. Thanks for joining us and listening to that wonderful Sense of Adventure PSA. So right now we've got Bridget Bell. Needs no introduction from me. So Bridget, would you mind introducing yourself for the folks at home?
Yeah, so I am a junior on the Tufts University Women's Volleyball team. I'm an outside hitter. I've been with the team for all three of my years here. And yeah, our season so far is going pretty well. We're a different, each team, you know, like each year you get a different team and each team has their different strengths and weaknesses, and we have been feeling those out for, you know, most of regular season, and I think now we're driving, hopefully. We'll continue, as Francis was saying, like we had a couple big wins last weekend against some of the top teams in New England, which at the New England Challenge, which is always a great time. MIT was a great host, and so we're kind of hoping to continue to carry that momentum through to this weekend, which is our last weekend of regular season, and then next weekend marks the start of postseason.
Yeah, postseason volleyball, always a fan. So what's like the shakedown of postseason this year? Is there a chance of Tufts getting an at-large bid? What's the lay of the NESCAC look like right now? What's your sense for that?
Yeah, so the NESCAC this year has been super competitive, as it always is. Random people win, not random people, but like everyone's a good team. So like
randos is winning these games.
Yeah, so it's, you know, like you never know who's going to win going into a NESCAC game. Like we have taken a couple losses in the NESCAC this year. So the two teams that are still undefeated right now are Bowdoin and Wesleyan. So they play tonight, actually, to determine who gets to host NESCACs, which is always super fun. We've hosted NESCACs the past 2 years, and it's been a blast. But I think we're excited to kind of get off campus and go compete somewhere else. So
beautiful Middletown, Connecticut.
Yeah,
great place.
I mean,
well, maybe.
Yeah, we'll see. It should be a good matchup though tonight. Bowdoin was for you big volleyball fans. Like if you want to tune into that as well as Tufts Con, it could be a fun match to watch for sure.
Yeah, definitely tune into Tufts Connecticut though, because you know, I'll be on the call for that one. So definitely.
Basically, you're saying most people are going to tune into the other game.
No. I'm just saying, like, Tufts Connecticut, you know, could be a really awesome game. Like Bowdoin Wesleyan,
they'll mute the computer.
So Bridget, obviously Tufts was, correct me if I'm wrong, 10-0 last year in the NESCAC.
That's correct, yeah.
A couple tough losses this season, as you mentioned. What's different about this season than last season? What like, obviously every year is different, but is there anything particularly challenging about this year in particular?
I think just like every year is different, and I think this year it has taken us a little bit more time than it has in the past to kind of gel and find our rhythm. And we certainly have, you know, like we have different pieces. We lost three different people last year. We lost our libero, a DS, and then a setter as well. So it's kind of been, you know, like we have some new pieces playing in different spots. So like our libero right now used to be an outside hitter, and she's done a fantastic job. Sophia Aker, she's done a fantastic job transitioning back to being a libero, which is a completely different position. Like the requirements are different. Your mentality on the court has to be different. So Sophia's done a fantastic job stepping into that role.
I've always wondered, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but like doing these games, like, is it sort of like moving from like left field to right field in baseball, or is it just like a completely different, like how hard is it to like do a different position in volleyball?
It really depends on like what position you're switching from. So outside to libero is probably one of, technically, even though it's like not very similar, I would consider it one of the more doable transitions. If you're transitioning from like middle to libero, like good luck. I mean, it's been done, but that's a much tougher transition than, you know, like outside to right side is super easy. So it's, you know, like you'll actually see, like if you watch Tufts play, we do a lot of a lot of like switching between the outside and the right side. So right now the rotation that we normally run, Mackenzie Bright and I normally switch. So I'll play one rotation on the outside while Mac is playing two rotations on the outside, and then I play two rotations on the right side. And so like that is definitely like you can switch that up, but like middle to DS or even outside to middle, like those are huge. They're very different positions, and like the mentality and your game sense is just like they're very different in that way. So that was kind of a long-winded response for something that's like, yes, it actually is very different. But
no, that's why we brought you in, is for those long-winded responses. You know, just gotta learn more about the sport.
In volleyball, is there like a position that like every kid wants to play growing up?
I mean, I think everyone goes through a phase where they're like, yes, I want to be the setter. It's kind of like the setter is very much like the quarterback of the team, and I think there's probably less like glory in being a setter, but it's still like you get to run your offense and like you get to touch the ball every play. Yeah, it's a team sport, but
So if you're ever killing a team, do you go, hey, coach, like, come
on. Just stick me in there.
I mean, for me, like, I think I got over that when I was, like, 15. I was like, okay, I'm a hitter. I definitely always, I'm like, coach, like, play me right side all the way around. I think everyone has a different dream position. And actually, if you're interested in it, we've like answered questionnaires that have asked us that question. I don't know if you have access to that online or not, but if you're wondering, my dream position would be right side all the way around, blocking, hitting, defense, all the good stuff. So
defense wins games.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah. Well, we say passing and serving and passing wins games, but well, so does defense.
It's definitely the defense. I'm the expert.
I'll disagree with that one. Yeah. So, Bridget, I got to ask, too, Alex Garrett coming back as an assistant coach, which is awesome. Is that a full-time job, or is she doing something else, and this is sort of a side hustle? What's the deal with that?
Yeah, well, I think Alex Garrett has been such a huge part of our program for so many years now that, like, when our coach found out that she still needed a couple classes, she's pre-vet, so she's just finishing up some requirements. So when our coach found out that she was still kind of like gonna be on campus, she was like, why don't you come back and be an assistant coach? Like, we don't want to let you go yet. So she's done a really fantastic job of just kind of like being, she like knows us so well, so sometimes it's weird because she like knows what's happening, and the other coaches, like Madison Smith, our other assistant coach, kind of likes to be in the dark a little bit more, like doesn't know exactly what's going on. But Alex Garrett definitely like has a good pulse on our team and knows what's happening. So I think that's nice for the coaching staff, because they can be a little bit more cognizant of like whether our bodies are just exhausted from, you know, like having a long weekend or whatever. Like Alex Garrett is a good kind of like, she has her ear to the ground and can really let our coaching staff know like what we need in practice and to be prepared for big games.
Another thing I have to ask, and Owen and I noticed this when we were calling the Amherst game, but I just feel like every volleyball player, including yourself, is from California. Like, what is in the water in California that makes so many volleyball players? The entire Amherst team is from California. And a lot of Tufts players are, too.
No, one was from Hawaii.
One was from Hawaii. Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, no, that's definitely, like, a trend that we noticed. I actually mentioned it when we were listening to the lineup against Amherst. I was like, oh, my God. Like, our whole lineup's from California. Their whole lineup's from California. Like, what is going on? But I think it's just kind of like water polo. It's just a bigger sport out there. We are very competitive in California. Like, there were, you know, four different clubs in a 20-mile radius in the Bay Area that are, you know, like, top 20 in the country. And so I think just, like, the programs are out there, and there are a lot of tall, blonde people out there.
so I think that's just, like, my conception of California is that's just everybody in California. Tall, blonde, athletic, cool.
I feel like a lot of it's coming from Northern California too, and not necessarily like Bay Area, like you said.
Sactown represent.
Oh, yeah. Sactown. Yeah, I'm originally from just east of Sacramento, so.
Because like Jen's from San Fran. You're from where?
I'm from Granite Bay, Sacramento area.
Shout out Lady Bird.
Yeah, fun fact. If you watch that movie closely, the tennis player kind of mean gal is from Granite Bay,
right? Don't they roast Granite Bay like the entire movie?
Yeah. I gotta say, like, it's not inaccurate. as tough as that is for me to admit, like, that's not an inaccurate representation of Granite Bay. So,
solid movie though.
Yeah, no, but I think it's a fantastic movie. I love that movie. but I think going back to Francis's question, like, Southern California, it's huge there too. I think not a lot of Southern California girls are like, yes, I want to go to New England to go to college.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty cold here, for those of you who aren't familiar with Boston weather. So I think that might be the reason that we see a couple more NorCal girls, but it's definitely a huge thing all over California, and like, we love to play volleyball out there, for sure.
Just go to the beach, go to like Venice Beach, play some volleyball. You know,
shockingly, Venice isn't actually the biggest place to play. Like, Santa Monica's pretty big. I mean, like, my parents live in Santa Cruz now, so I go home to Santa Cruz, and so that's where I play. I play on Main Beach in Santa Cruz, but like,
bridge it out on the streets.
Yeah, hey, catch me there.
This is too California for me right now. This conversation is far too California.
Did you actually play like competitive beach volleyball?
So actually our age group now, it's like really off the ground, but at the time when I was playing back home, it wasn't a massive, it was like still very much up and coming, whereas now it's like there are beach clubs and you can play beach volleyball year round, whereas when I was, you know, growing up playing, you like had to play indoor volleyball to be any good at beach volleyball. So it was always kind of like a supplementary thing, and I think like beach has definitely made my indoor game better. For those of you big volleyball fanatics, if you want to get really good at indoor volleyball, beach volleyball is the way to go. Plus it's fun, it's outside. They have it here, so I hear, at least in the summertime. Winter.
On what beach?
Apparently they have it at Revere Beach. Yeah. No, so I've heard.
I think College of Charleston, one of the first years that NCAA did beach volleyball Division I, because
yes.
I'm from Charleston.
Yeah.
I think they like went to the Final Four or something crazy. I knew someone on the team.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't know this was an actual D1 sport.
Yeah, so I think it happened in 2012 or 2014. I think it might have been 2014, because it was super weird, because for our recruiting process, there like weren't that many teams, and now it's almost, we were in kind of like this quasi space class. I was high school class 2020, where it was like, you could get recruited for beach, but there wasn't like that many opportunities. Mm-hmm. And now it's like more of a universal thing. And so it's a little bit, not easier by any means, because there are more people playing the game, but there are just more opportunities for girls who want to play beach volleyball in college to do so.
I wonder if it's scholarships.
It is.
Little beach volley?
Little beach volley. Is there a D3?
Little beach volley calling?
No D3 yet. I'm really pushing our athletic director, John Morris, to,
by,
to
senior
throw
year.
Some courts in. Yeah. I mean, all you need is some sand and some nets.
Like, we have Revere right here. Perfect.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Cut your feet on a shard of glass.
And 35-degree weather.
So, Bridget, what's something about... so we have a couple athletes in JumboCast, you being one of them, Alec being another, but Alec doesn't really count. So what's something about being an athlete at Tufts that non-athletic regular people like myself wouldn't understand? Like, what's the hidden life of an athlete, you know?
We have a lot less time than everyone else. It's like for us, it's like, oh yeah, practice is only 2 hours. But then like you're at the gym an hour beforehand and you're showering and ice bathing and like doing all of this stuff at the gym after. So you're at the gym for like 5 hours. And then all of a sudden, like your coach is like, all right, here's some film. Like, and then you watch film for an hour and you're like, well, there goes like 6 hours of my day. And that's obviously not, you know, daily. We don't spend 6 hours a day normally, but I would say it depends, you know. Like it's a lot like a job, and it's
questioning your work ethic here, Bridget.
Oh my. it's amazing, and we all love it. We love the grind. We love to, you know, step into the gym and get better every day, but it's definitely a lot of time. So, you know, when people are like, oh yeah, like you want to go do this fun thing on Sunday, I'm like, I have not done homework for the past 3 days. Like, I am so behind on my work. So I think like the athlete experience is just different from the normal college experience, because people are like, oh yeah, like we're gonna, you know, like go to this fun party on this Thursday night. And I'm like, yeah, no,
gonna be
definitely not. And like I said, like we all love it. We don't do it for any other reason other than we love the people we do it with and we love the sport itself. But that's definitely something. We do get like some perks though, I'm not gonna lie. Like, the varsity weight room, I don't know if you guys like to work out, but the varsity weight room is super nice because you're not like fighting for like space with people, because I feel like at like the regular gym you're like, oh shoot, like all the treadmills are taken, or like, oh shoot, like, or like there are these, I hate to use this word because like,
use it.
Okay, these like meatheads.
Oh,
who are, I know. I feel bad because like, Francis, honestly, right, I know. Yeah. But they're like on the platforms for like, God, 45 minutes.
Oh,
like,
I
just want to do one set of squats. Yep. Like, can I? So that's pretty nice too.
Sometimes I'll just be in the gym and I'll just be like, I just want to lift weights right now. You know, I just want to be strong and be in the gym.
Yeah.
Because I go to the gym all the time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I see, you know what? I see Charlie Driver a lot at the gym.
Charlie Driver's always at the gym.
Yeah. He is one fit dude.
The varsity weight room has that grass too. It's got that like turf,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's good for like, so we have lift super early in the mornings in the spring. And they must get up at like 5 a.m. because we would get there at, you know, like 6:30 in the morning, and the men's lacrosse team would already be there and like be finishing up their like they practiced a little bit in there. They would like practice their face-offs. And so like we'd get there at 6:30 and they'd be like, all right, like wrap it up. And I was like, how long have you been here? So that's always pretty wild. And like,
insert student-athlete meme here.
Yeah, shout out to the men's lax team getting those early morning reps.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, they're also like our ball boys. So we
that was my other question actually. Who are those guys? It's always the same guys.
Yeah, so we love our ball boys. They're very close to our heart. They all have fun nicknames too, which we will not share over the air for their sake. None of them are inappropriate or anything. We just, it's like a special thing. But they're all on the lacrosse team, and I think it's a work study thing, so I think they get paid to do it. But we have like our favorites too, like we're like, oh yeah, like this person's doing it tonight, like it's gonna be a good night. So the lacrosse team has a very special place in TUVB's heart just because they've done such a fantastic job being our ball boys. So we get some face-to-face interaction with a team that we probably wouldn't otherwise get to know very well. So
do you guys I guess ball girl their games, like, because I know like they have to like throw the balls like when the balls go out of bounds and all. Do you have to do that or
no? I
thank God lacrosse games are
Arfon, right?
No. That's not we covered one last year that was, or 2 years ago, that was 0 degrees, and it was the worst JumboCast broadcast I've ever done in my life.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I had.
Yeah. That's pretty brutal.
I've done games. I guess it was maybe field hockey or maybe a spring, and I couldn't feel my hands. I couldn't feel my face. Like, my mouth was so numb, like, when I was talking, like, I literally couldn't feel my lips.
Bridget, did we mention that you're a part of JumboCast, too?
I think you did.
Proud member, 3 years.
Of 3 years. I haven't done a lot of broadcasts in the past year. Been really busy, but it's a really fun group to be a part of, and, like, if you're looking to get involved with some sporty people, I would highly recommend JumboCast. It's pretty fun.
I think for one of maybe her senior night next year, we should mic her up.
Oh, yeah. Little, like, mic the sideline type thing. Yeah. So, Bridget, I got to get your World Series predictions, too.
Oh, okay. Well, as you may not know, actually, I am a huge Giants fan, and it's been a rough couple years, but we had a really fantastic stretch in there where it was just like,
where people were taking PEDs and hitting home runs, i.e. Barry Bonds.
Madison Bumgarner like crashed his dirt bike or something like that.
Yeah, he was out for like almost a whole year. I cannot tell you how upset I was when I got that notification. I was like, he did it doing what? So that was pretty brutal. But on principle, we hate the Dodgers. So I'm hoping for a game 5 win because I want to see it done for the Red Sox because I want to see it done in Boston.
That would have to be game 6.
Yeah. Game 6?
It would have to be game 6.
Game 6. Sorry.
Not to put you on blast there.
But. Yeah, it's okay.
It'll be interesting. I think LA will definitely win one in Hollywood, but
probably not though.
Probably not. I could see. I honestly not last night, but the night before, after that game, I was like, Boston could sweep.
Bridget, I don't know if you know this, but I was at the game.
I did not know that.
On Wednesday.
That's amazing.
No big deal or anything.
But yeah, Owen took the liberty of telling everyone else on there, so he just wanted to tell you as well.
Yeah, I just wanted to let that...
Can I ask you, like, how was that, the Benintendi catch? Was that as fantastic in person as it was on TV?
Well, that was game one. I was at game two.
That was not game... Was that?
Yeah, that was game one.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. I was at the game.
Wow.
Did you guys know I was at the game?
Yeah, were you at the game?
I was at the game. but it was, I mean, like, it was, I mean, Benintendi in person is pretty awesome, just in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
Beyond his baseball ability. You guys are catching my drift. He's attractive.
Yeah. Yep. I think, yeah, so our team, I'm just going to agree with that. But our team was actually, like, our whole team was over watching the game. Now you're making me second guess whether it was game 1 or game 2.
Oh, it was game 1.
Whatever Owen says is the opposite.
Pretty sure it was game 1. Trevor, back me up here.
I'm looking it up.
But our whole team was like...
It's game 2.
What?
Yeah, World Series game 2. Watch Andrew Benintendi.
Oh, wait, yeah. No,
thank you.
It was game 2.
All right.
I think Owen might have fallen asleep.
Were you at
here's
that
the story.
Moment?
Here's the story. Here's the story. I remember it now.
Oh, now there's a story.
I was in the bathroom.
Oh.
No way.
Yeah, so I didn't see it live.
For real?
Yeah, for real.
That's brutal.
Yeah, it was the one bathroom break I took. Had to pee really bad.
Thanks for the information.
Call me a fake fan.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's one moment to miss.
Yeah, tough.
That's really brutal.
I also, okay, we don't have to get into this now, but I've missed several very famous, well, I guess several being one other powerful Boston sports moments because I was peeing.
What was the other one?
We don't have to talk about it. It's a tough one to talk about. It involves David Ortiz. But anyways.
No, you didn't.
Socks and four.
No, you didn't.
Anyways, folks. But that was in my own home. That was in my own home. It wasn't at Fenway, so it's not that bad.
Who are the Dodgers pitching tonight? Does anyone know?
I think it's Bueller.
Yeah, Bueller versus...
He's electric.
I think if they're going to avoid a sweep here, I think it's going to be this game. I think Bueller can either show up. And I mean, it's
Porcello, though.
Well, Porcello might go yard.
He's a gamer. I forgot it was...
But honestly, like, who saw Kershaw folding like he did in game one?
Me.
Not when they played the Braves, unfortunately. I did not see it.
No, that was... it was one of those things, Bridget, where it's like, oh, Kershaw versus Sale, like, this is baseball, so there's definitely... It's actually going to be, like, an offensive slugfest. You know what I mean? It's just... You just had that, like, feeling the whole time, but...
Yeah. Oh, thanks for implying our feelings now.
Francis, you don't have any feelings.
Oh boy, a lot of drama here on JumboCast Radio.
So, Giants, predictions for next year?
Oh, God. I think at this point we're kind of in a rebuilding mentality, which can be good, but you know, I think that's where we're really gonna find it, and I think that's where we found it in 2009 was with our you know, mm-hmm. like our base program and kind of getting those players built in the minors and then bringing them up as they become ready. So I think that going back to that, and we have some seasoned veterans, but we're gonna also start, you know, like those players are gonna start, you know, retiring or whatnot. So I think kind of going back to what the Giants program does well, which is you know, taking from their, what's the word I'm looking for, guys, help me out here,
farm system.
Yeah, their farm system.
I got you.
Will be really helpful for them in kind of rebuilding the program.
You ever go to AT&T? You ever see a game there?
Oh my God, all the time. It's
always wanted to go there.
It's an amazing ballpark. It gets really cold. Yeah. It gets really cold. Not as cold as Candlestick, which is where the Giants played before AT&T. But yeah, it gets cold, man.
You ever like kayak around and
you know what?
Whatever it's called, McCulley's Cove.
I have
or whatever
not.
It's
McCovey Cove.
McCovey
but
Cove.
Yeah, yeah, close enough. I have not. And it's actually like on my bucket list to kind of just like listen to the game. Like I grew up listening to Kruk and Kipe, you know, and John Miller and Dave Fleming. And so to like just kayak in McCovey Cove would be, it's definitely on the bucket list for sure.
Maybe throw a life vest on and just float. Just float for a couple hours.
That would be super cold.
They had some attendance issues in the Cove this year. People weren't showing up to the ballpark or really into the water. I remember I was watching a game.
To kayak?
There was one sole kayaker, and he was like really far away from where the home run was hit. And so they just ESPN showed him like slowly taking his time to like get to the ball, and it was like 30 seconds, and he just like picks up the ball and then
tough.
Yeah.
Were they bad this year, Bridget?
They were better than they were last year.
Were they fourth place, third place?
Yeah, they sacrificed a ton of assets to get McCutcheon and Longoria, who, you know, did not turn out well for them.
So. Yeah, it was pretty brutal.
They went 1-9 in their last 10, though.
Tough.
Yeah, very tough.
It was another rough year. But, you know, like Giants baseball, it's all about the ups and downs. There was a lot of downs in the mid-2000s after Bonds, before kind of like the glory World Series years, so it's Giants baseball. You gotta love it.
On the upside, baseball. Like tickets must be like nothing.
San Francisco.
They're still, they've definitely come down in the past couple of years. My family had season tickets up until I think 2008, 2009, and then they sold them,
it's tough.
Which was brutal because then they went on to win 3 World Series, and we sold them for nothing. So it's kind of rough.
It's a tough ROI there.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a little Ec 5 for you.
But
please don't.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think we have some tickets now. So my family went a couple times, and I'm more of a bleachers gal more than anything, because I love sitting in the bleachers. Like, you are best friends with the people you're sitting next to, and you're sitting in the bleachers, and it's just true. I love it. I think it's a better atmosphere than, you know, like, you can't see the baseball as well as you can in other seats, but I think it's more fun for sure.
I don't need to see the baseball either. I just got to feel the game, you know?
Yeah.
Just got to feel it.
I just love being the opposition, too. Like, just everyone in the bleachers is, you know, certain fan, like, say, Giants fans, and then you're just wearing a Dodgers jersey and everyone's getting pissed at you.
So you're one of those people, huh?
Yeah.
I will say.
I like confrontation.
I've been to two games at Fenway where we've played the Giants. Maybe just one, actually. But I gotta say, there's Giants fans everywhere. It was like I was at a Giants home game. It was crazy.
Really?
They were just like infiltrated Fenway. Yeah, it was wild.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know.
Who knew?
Yeah, a little interleague.
Yeah. I went to the Giants Red Sox last two summers ago.
Oh, you were there?
I was there.
I was there too.
Was that the Hong Kong game?
Yeah, that was the Hong Kong's impeccable baseball team. But no, they there was a guy from like a Giants fan sitting in front of me. Oh. Would not be quiet the whole time.
Yeah, I'll be there in a second.
So, as we're wrapping up, we have about 5 minutes left. We really appreciate you being here. We're starting to wonder if actually you might play tomorrow or not against Wesleyan, and that'll get interesting too. for next week because of the, I don't know if listeners know, but there's a big nor'easter, remnants of a hurricane kind of forming, and we don't know how bad the weather's going to be tomorrow. Do you know anything about that?
I did know that there was a nor'easter that was supposed to come in tomorrow, but I think from what I've heard up in the athletic department, I don't think that should affect at least our game this weekend, as long as we can, as long as Wes can get to us.
Well, yeah.
Obviously, it's one of the perks of being an indoor sport. It shouldn't matter what the weather is outside, as long as there aren't like major transportation issues. I would assume that it'll be on schedule. They have a little bit of a trek tonight because they're coming from all the way up from Maine, from Bowdoin. But hopefully, they'll be able to get here with little to no problem. So,
awesome. So we wish you luck in the next two games. Hopefully you can carry some momentum into NESCAC's. Kind of talks about how important they are for you guys. And it's senior night tonight, right?
Yeah, senior night tonight. We're celebrating Katie Zhang and Mackenzie Bright, who are two of our awesome seniors. They've been with us for 4 years. They're a big part of the program, and we're just really happy to celebrate all that they've given us over their years.
Yeah, and that's awesome. And I think, you know, I've seen the team interact with each other on and off the court, and I think you guys have, you know, an incredible bond, and I think you guys are really close, and then their leadership has been huge over their time here. And so I'm sure you guys are really appreciative of that, too.
For sure, yeah. And we're just, like I said, we're stoked to celebrate all that they've given us and got, and hopefully get a win for them.
Well, good luck tonight.
Can you guarantee a NESCAC, NESCAC playoff win for us?
Can I guarantee it?
Do you think we'll go all the way? Can I get a guarantee?
I mean, I am one of those people who is very superstitious. I'm not going to guarantee you anything. And like I said earlier, the NESCAC is super competitive. You never know what's going to happen going into a game. But hopefully, like, we'll give everyone we play a run for their money.
We're gonna have our intern chop that up to just have you say, I guarantee.
All right.
And we'll put that on the website.
All right.
Perfect.
Fantastic.
Well, hey, don't forget, actually, you can watch that game tonight at 7 o'clock. As the social media guy, I got to plug this. 7 o'clock, we'll have the Jumbo Cast. Bridget will be playing Conn College, the Camels, tonight.
Bridget
will not.
I was not here for that part. But her team will be playing.
The team will be playing, for sure.
And tomorrow, actually, Owen and Owen will be calling that game tonight. And then tomorrow, Francis and I will be calling the 1 o'clock game versus Wesleyan. So be sure to tune in both times.
All right, cool. We're going to wrap it up here in just a minute because Chris has got his show coming up. Francis is saying something to me.
I was just saying, you know, in honor of the World Series, I think we should start and close with Sweet Caroline.
I think we'll just let Chris bring it on.
We'll let Chris bring it on. You know, sometimes people have good ideas and they get shot down. It happens.
Francis was asking you to play Sweet Caroline, but I'm not going to suggest
it. Oh, yeah,
you
do that.
Okay, because he's going to play Sweet Caroline.
See, people appreciate good ideas, Owen.
Some people appreciate good ideas, some people don't. So, Bridget, again, thanks so much for coming on.
Absolutely, my appreciate pleasure.
And watch the games, like Trevor said. And we, Jumbo Cavs Radio, will be back in the next 2 weeks, Fridays, 3 to 4 p.m., as always. So thank you all for joining us, and have a great weekend.
Where it began, I can't begin to know it. But then I know it's growing strong. Wasn't the spring, and spring became the summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along? Hands, touching hands, reaching out, touching me.